we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Today we would like to speak about how the Quran addresses the human heart. Let's examine the human heart for a minute here and find out how Islam is addressing, how the Quran and how the teaching of Islam, how the teachings of Islam are addressing this tired, confused, full of worries human heart. Let's take a cross section. Let's take a cross section into a typical human heart and look inside and see what is typically in there. In a typical human heart, you normally see what? You see worries. You see a heart full of worries. Worries about what? Well, worries about different life business, personal business. Worries about the job, worries about the future, worries about the retirement, worries about the, whatever enemy that might attack, worries about children, worries about this and worries about that. And these worries, some of it are legitimate worries, you know, reasonable worries, and it's reasonable to have. Like worrying about children and worrying about, not excessively of course, and worrying about somebody who's going to attack and the enemy and all of that. And other of the, many of these worries are resulting from the excessive selfishness and greed, from the temptation of excessive selfishness and greed. And these worries are not legitimate and are not good to have. And this is where the Quran comes to treat these worries resulting from the excessive selfishness, excessive greed, lack of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and lack of appreciation of the value of the hereafter as compared to the value of this life. And also, when we look inside that human heart, we see other things, such as what? Such as, for example, the temptations. We see a heart full of temptations. And these temptations stimulate feelings. And these feelings are, if the person is not submissive to Allah, if the person is submissive to his own temptations, then these feelings would be a driving force. Now, temptations and feelings are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the human being. So it's like a two-edged sword. In one way, they help the human being. For example, you know, the feeling that your hand is burning will make you protect, will protect your hand, because if you don't have such a feeling, then your hand might be burning and you're not paying attention, and you suddenly discover that your hand has been burned while you're not paying attention. If you are running and you don't feel that you're tired, then you might over exhaust your heart and exhaust your body and end up in a critical condition and might kill yourself without knowing. So feelings are good. At the same time, the temptation of selfishness and greed, for example, it is good up to a certain limit. It helps, it's a motivation for the human being to take care of his own business, to take care of his own family, to take care of his own affairs. And basically everyone has to take care of his own business, otherwise no one is going to take care of somebody else's business. And so a little bit reasonable amount of selfishness and greed is required, you know, in this life. However, the problem is when things exceed the appropriate limit, when things exceed the boundary that is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if any of these feelings or love to the children, love to your home, love to the security, to your job, love to your business, love to your wife, love to your parents, love to your tribe, love to any of your country, love to any of these things exceeds the love of Allah, then this love becomes an evil love. So it's okay to love these things, actually, it's not okay, only it is a requirement to love these things. If you don't love these things, then you might be committing a sin. But for this love to grow up and exceed the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes an evil love. So this is how we draw the line between what is appropriate and acceptable and what's not appropriate and acceptable. Now, this is the thermometer, but how do we measure that? How do we measure that, and what is the practical way of measuring that? Because feeling cannot be measured or quantified. The way we can measure that is by actions. If a person is willing to sacrifice his religion, to sell his religion in exchange of any of these loves, if a person is willing to sell commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and commitment to Islam, if a person is willing to betray the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his rules and his guidance in exchange of any of these things, then that person is love to these things exceeds the love of Allah, and this is the evil love. But if that same exact individual is not willing to do that, and this same exact individual is indeed wants to basically, you know, resist any of these temptations and feeling that takes him or her away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that kind of love is the good love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. So this is how can we measure. Now, this is a cross section that describes what is inside the human heart. The Quran comes to inspire the human heart and to treat the human heart from these diseases. Now, Quran is full of techniques, and these techniques, when used, they do help and they do produce a result that decreases these worries and decreases these feelings and these temptations if they exceed the appropriate limit. Quran has spiritual medications. Quran and spiritual food and spiritual vitamins, and the purpose of these spiritual things is to inspire the human heart against all these attackers, against all these occupiers that try to occupy the human heart and take control of it. So the purpose of the inspiration is to come into the heart and kick out these excessive worries or these excessive temptations and feelings. How is that possible? Well, the Quran has three main vitamins. The first vitamin that it inspires is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This vitamin is a very strong, inspiring vitamin, the love of Allah. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is getting our love is by describing himself to us using 99 names or 99 attributes, descriptions, properties that he has. Of course, Allah is beyond and bigger than just being limited with 99 attributes, but these 99 attributes are the ones that we can benefit from, are the ones that we can understand and relate to. Other attributes of Allah, if they are helpful to us, Allah would have given them to us. But indeed, for whatever reason or for whatever wisdom, Allah decided only to give us these 99 names and descriptions. These names and descriptions are divided into two categories: the names of beauty and the names of greatness, or the attributes of beauty and the attributes of greatness. The attributes of beauty are such as Allah is the merciful, Allah is the kind, Allah is the gracious, Allah is the forgiving, Allah is the sustenance provider, Allah is the creator, Allah is the source of guidance, and so forth. These are the attributes of beauty that you know, makes us love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is the one that creates us. He is the one that guards us. He is the one that gave us life. He is the one that has blessed us with so many blessings that we can't imagine. He is the one that gave us a golden opportunity to earn the Jannah, the paradise. And He is the one that made it possible for us to have such a choice and to have such an opportunity, that without Him we would have not had this opportunity. And now it's up to us if we earn this opportunity, if we take advantage of this opportunity and earn heavens. So these, whenever a person hears about these attributes, that person, he or she, develops trust in Allah and love, trust in that He is the sustenance provider, trust that He is in full control and nothing is going to benefit us unless He allows it to happen, and nothing will harm us unless He allows it to happen. Everything in His hand, He is in full control, He has the full authority, He is the source of izzah, He is the source of power and honor and recognition, He is the source of everything. By trusting, investing our trust in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and love into Him, that frees our heart, because those two cannot be combined in the same heart. The love and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the excessive temptations and worries, one of them will kick the other. One of them will kick the other. You cannot have them together in the same heart. They don't. They just could not, cannot exist in the same heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah does not allow a person to have two hearts inside him. In other words, Allah does not allow a person to have two motives, to have two identities, to have two threads of thoughts, or to be two people at the same time. And to indeed that's not possible, and that's common sense, we notice that. And indeed one heart cannot combine both of these feelings together. And the other feelings, the feeling of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is very important to free us from worries that might make us do something wrong or stay away from something right because of these worries. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those false deities and gods. And this is where, you know, many Muslim reformers spoke about what is so-called political paganism, where the president, with the power of the government and with the power of the police, is creating an environment of fear and terror that makes people do what is wrong and abstain from what is right for the sake of avoiding his punishment and his persecution. And indeed the attributes of greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to free the human heart from all these things. You know, when one time they were talking to a person, a Muslim leader, they told him that, you know, aren't you afraid of these aeroplane jet fighters, B-2s and bombers, and that might fly above your head and bomb you? He said, let me ask you a question. Who is higher? These aeroplanes are higher, or Allah's higher? So of course everybody said, Allah's higher. He said, then I have no worry. And that example, you know, shows that how is it possible to free the human heart from the fear of materialistic powers and the fear of the powers of false deities and gods that try to coerce this human heart into another path other than the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it possible to free the human heart from the influence of these forces, of these fears, of these worries, so that this free heart can then direct itself towards the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, creating these fears to deviate the heart from following the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called creating a fitna. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. causing a fitna, creating such an environment where people are with an environment where people are pressured into the haram, the unlawful things, and they are, this environment is making the halal hard and difficult for them to achieve and attain. Whatever Allah orders is hard, and whatever Allah prohibits is easy, and actually it is, it becomes a requirement. Without this requirement, life becomes very difficult. Creating such an environment of fitna where people are pressured into outside of the straight path, the path of guidance, then this is worse than killing, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Indeed, He is the only one that can judge what is, what, which one is worse, killing or fitna. We can't judge that because we don't know what comes after death. But He, no one comes after death to tell us that, wait a minute, I think what is after death is worse or easier than, or, you know, better than creating an environment of fitna. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that can judge that. And He judged that already in the Quran, saying that creating such an environment is worse than killing. In other words, killing of a human being is better than putting this human being in an environment where he might lose righteousness, might lose the way, and might be misguided and pressured outside of the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this motive in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Indeed, some human beings, they take with Allah other partners. They love them as much as they love Allah, or sometimes more. Actually, or sometimes more is not in the verse. The verse says they love them as much as they love Allah. And then Allah says, but الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, are, they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. Nothing comes equal to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. So it's a very strong motive, the love of Allah. Because of the love of Allah, people have sacrificed their lives. Because of the love of Allah, people have sacrificed their money. Because of the love of Allah, fighting selfishness and greed and temptations is possible. Just to think about it. In the absence of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest factor that will influence the human behavior and the human thinking will be temptations. Basically, it will be nothing but temptations, because nothing as strong as temptations. There is no motive stronger than the temptations and the pressures, you know, that generates these temptations. The outside pressures generate inside temptations. So, you know, in the absence of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is not possible to free ourselves from being slaves to these temptations, from these temptations slaving us, dictating our thinking and dictating our behavior. It will always win. It will always win, because it's not possible for it to lose. It's the strongest influencing factor in the heart in the absence of the love of Allah. So the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for us to free ourselves from slavery to temptations. By pushing this love into our heart, it is the only force that has more strength and more power, more spiritual power and strength than the temptations. And this is the only way to free ourselves from slavery to temptations, is by putting and bringing in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our heart, and to kick out and to free ourselves from slavery to temptations. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has put a lot of text and a lot of scripture and a lot of, you know, a lot of descriptions of his attributes and his greatness for the purpose of generating this love, for the purpose of generating this trust, for the purpose of generating this feeling that nothing is above Allah, nothing to worry about, as long as we have good relationship with Allah, as long as we are pleasing Allah and doing what is right, there is nothing to worry about, there is nothing to fear, as long as you stand up for Allah, as long as you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. As long as all these things are true, then there shouldn't be any fears or worries. Because if Allah is in your side, you can't be a minority. We can't be a minority if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our side. We can't be weak if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our side. We can't be losers if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on our side. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran about the Muslim soldiers, he said on their tongue, that addressing the non-believers, he said, قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. What? Tell them, you know, say to them, to the non-believers, say to them, what is going to happen to us? Except one of the two good ends, two good destinies, two good results. What are the two good results and two good outcomes? It's win-win situation. One of them is victory, to achieve victory in the battle that we're fighting. And that's a win situation. And the other win situation is to achieve martyrdom and to die as shaheed, martyr, and goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter Jannah. What, you know, that's the two outcomes that are possible and expected. And indeed, it's a win-win situation. You know, why Allah's on our side, we can't lose. But وَأَنْتُمْ وَنَحْنُ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمْ, and we are waiting for you, either that Allah, either you get killed and you go to hellfire straight, or you get victory, and if you get victory, it's a temporary short-term victory that you will not stay long after this victory, that, you know, before you die or get destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one way or another, by a disease, by whatever, or die because of aging, or die for one reason or another, and then go to hellfire as well. So it's a lose-lose situation. Whether you win or you don't win, it is always a lose-lose outcome. Indeed, it is a very strong statement that shows how is it possible that whether, if Allah is in your side, whether you win or lose, you are always a winner. Because if Allah is in your side, both outcomes are winning. Both outcomes are a win-win situation. Whether you get it this way or you get it that way, both are win-win situation. And this is the beauty and the power of being with us, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is full of similar text, you know, to describe to the people that don't fear anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, this is the Satan, is frightening you, is inspiring fear in your heart. Inspiring fear, he is making you afraid of his soldiers. And his soldiers, he is threatening you with his soldiers. His soldiers have lots of muscles and lots of brains and lots of power and strength and abilities. And these powers and strength and abilities can be used to destroy you, can be used to punish you, can be used to make your life miserable. Don't fear them. Fear me, because I am the one who should be feared. just like the story of the people, the magicians of the Pharaoh, and we know the story very well. When the magicians of the Pharaoh came to the Pharaoh and they told him, "Inna lana la ajran in kunna nahnu al-ghalibin," are we going to have a reward if we win the competition with Musa? And indeed, we know that Musa came and he told the Pharaoh that, "I have a proof that I am a prophet of Allah." He said, "Show me your proof." He showed him his stick, how it doesn't convert to snake. He showed his hand, how it could be a shiny hand and all of that. So he said he's a person of black magic. He's using this black magic to impress us and to make us submissive to his orders and powers and the power of his black magic and all of that, and surrender our kingdom to him and blah blah. So all these accusations. So they told him, the people around him, his consultants told him, "Okay, why don't we bring our magicians people and have a magic competition and see who are the winners? And this way we just show that Moses is just nothing but a big liar, because he can't really win the competition of magic." So, you know, he said, "Oh, what's such a great idea?" So he gathered all the magicians, 60,000 magicians from all around Egypt. He gathered all of them together in one room, in one stadium, big, huge stadium. And the competition time was the Duha time, the time when the sun is, when the weather is still cool and the sun is high and rising, so that everything is clear. Because in the dark you can do a lot of tricks to make it hard and to make it easy for the people to judge and to see everything. They organized it in the morning time where the sun is shining and it's not cloudy and everybody's able to see and judge, and gathered all the people in a day in a big celebration. "Let's attend the competition." Everybody got there and everybody was gathered, and then the competition started. Prophet Musa alayhi salam told them, "Okay, you start, throw whatever you want to throw." So they threw their tubes and their ropes and their sticks, and these tubes and sticks were made of transparent plastic or material. Inside that there was mercury. When you throw it, the mercury with these tubes, flexible tubes, will vibrate like a snake and will shine on the sun, because mercury shines like a mirror. So that was a very good magic trick. You know, all these magicians came with wagons behind them. Lots and lots and lots of equipment, magic equipment, huge wagons. You know, horses and wagons and 60,000 magicians, and wow, what is that? And that's on one side. On the other side was Musa alayhi salam, didn't come with any equipment, didn't come with any wagon. He just came walking with his stick, and his brother is next to him. That's it. You know, people look at Musa on one side, what is that? Look on the other side, on the magicians of the Pharaoh. Wow, what an impressive thing that they have. And then the competition started. قَالَ لَهُمْ مُوسَىٰ أَلْقُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ مُلْقُونَ. Start, throw what you have to throw, Musa alayhi salam said. So they threw their tricks and they showed their tricks. Everybody was so impressed. And the people say, "All right." And before they threw them, they said, "بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَالُوا بِفَلْقَوْا حِبَالَهُمْ وَعِصِيَّهُمْ وَقَالُوا بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْغَالِبُونَ." We swear by the powers and greatness of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, that we are the winners. And when they threw these things, people were so impressed, and people said, "Yeah!" You know, laws everywhere and greetings and hoorays and blah blah blah. And Musa alayhi salam, fear sneaked to the heart of Musa alayhi salam.
has Allah documented in Surah Taha, فَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيفَةً مُوسَى. So Musa started worrying, fear started to sneak into his heart. So Allah, he said, don't kunna la takhaf, innaka anta al-a'la. Don't be afraid, you are the winner. Don't be scared or afraid. Don't be, you will be the big winner. وألق ما في يمينك تلقف ما صنعوا إنما صنعوا كيد ساحر ولا يفلح الساحر حيث أتى. Throw the stick in your right hand and it's going to swallow every stick, every tube, every row that they have thrown, and there is a massive amount of them, and is going to come back to your hand as a stick. Okay, and because what they have done is nothing but a trick of a magician, and the tricks of the magicians are not successful, are not used to establish the truth. They are used for deception. They are used to make people losers and to make the magicians themselves losers. Even if they succeed in tricking the people, they are still losers. So they threw it in. He threw it in there and it did swallow everything. And the magicians, their eyes were, you know, they were staring at the stick becoming a snake, swallowing every piece of equipment that they have, swallowing every tube, every stick, every rope, every trick, swallowing all of them. These things were disappearing one by one in front of their eyes. And then the stick flew back to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and he held it in his hand. They are the ones who are experts in magic. They are super professional in magic. No one on this earth knows magic more than them. What is going on? What is happening? What is it? You know, what is, you know, it was a very impressive situation that they could not believe their eyes. They looked at each other when they said, we know what magic is. That's not magic. That is superpower. That's supernatural power. That is a miracle. That's not magic. No, no. This is not a magic trick. This guy is indeed a person who's sent by God. These are the powers of God. Only God can do that. And they all fell into complete prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fell in the ground, and they all, 60,000, all prostrated together and said in one voice, آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ رَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. We have believed in the Lord of the universe, the Lord of Harun and Musa, Aaron and Moses. At that point, the Pharaoh, who lost the competition, of course, you know, he didn't like that, so he immediately thought about a trick to publish in the media quickly so that people don't take the side of Moses, and then Moses will gain power over him, and then he has to surrender his kingdom and his powers to Musa alayhi salam, and to which is going to guide this power to be used as a righteous power to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he immediately declared an accusation to be spread around immediately by everybody. قال إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر. He is the one that taught you magic. He is the one that taught you the magic. Indeed, he is your boss. He is your leader. You have conspired with him to gain powers and to gain control. You are just his followers. And I am going to give you a severe punishment. How dare you to believe before I give you permissions?
I am going to hang to crucify you on trees, cut your right hand with your left legs, and leave you there to die and bleed slowly, to bleed slowly until you die. And what was their answer? He generated a threat that he is capable of doing, and indeed he has done it before, and it's a true, genuine threat. They are sure 100% that he is able to do it, and he will do it, and actually he is tempted to do it as well. Now, here is a competition of fear into the hearts. The fear of the Pharaoh or the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one is going to win? Which one is going to win? Which one is going to win depends on the heart. The heart that has the free will to choose. The heart. Of course, with those believers who are believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won. And this is an example of a story that inspires the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.